Ann Carrick in for Paul Pacelli again today. And our next guest is Josh Koskoff from Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter. And so first, let me say welcome, Josh. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Ann, for having me.
I'm glad to have you. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you are probably related to the Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter part of that name.
Yeah, I like to think I got the job on my merits, but I have to confess that I am of relation to those people.
You're right. Either that or you coincidentally have the same name, which I'm kind
exactly.
of, I doubt, yeah. So I asked you to join us because I wanted to talk a little bit about medical mistakes and malpractice and if there's a difference between the two. And I thought, well, who better? Because your firm does a lot of work with people who have experienced big mistakes medically, correct?
That's correct, regardless of what name you call it.
Yeah. The way you said that, let me ask that first then. Is there a difference between a medical mistake and malpractice, or is it the same thing?
Well, I think it probably depends on what you – well, it definitely depends on your how you see those two words and the definition. I mean, a mistake to me implies accident, which also is applicable to malpractice. You know, malpractice, the word malpractice is a little bit of a misleading word because I think in inherent your question is it implies some bad intent or something, but not simply a mistake. But most of the malpractices, I have to say, and that I've dealt with, I mean, I think all of them, no doctor we've ever brought a case against or no hospital we've ever sued, they haven't never intended to harm anybody. So to an extent, you could describe them all of our malpractice cases as having some degree of an accident or mistake or negligence about them. But it doesn't, it is of no, when we go to doctors, we need them to adhere to standard principles, to be careful and thorough. And we trust that we don't have to look into their backgrounds, where they went to school and that kind of thing. And that we can bring our medical problems to them and to hospitals and they will act carefully. And, you know, whether you call it a mistake or a bad decision or just sloppy, it can cause catastrophic harm.
Well, sure, it definitely, and I think when it causes catastrophic harm, everybody gets it. The reason
right.
I was kind of questioning the two is because, and this is just in talking to people, some of my own experience recently, I feel like the medical industry is suffering from the same problem that a lot of industries are, where people are spread too thin, they're all trying to do too much,
right.
and there's just like, there's a sloppiness that's, you know, kind of, to me, seems to be pervasive compared to what I would have noticed maybe 10 years ago. And again, none of it intentional. And I
right.
don't know. And that's what I said. And in talking to friends also, I feel like I hear a lot of stories where they had something done. It didn't go quite right. Then they had to have something else done. And of course, in addition to being annoying,
right.
if you have to have some second procedure done, there's usually means more recovery, more
sure.
time off of work, more charges to your insurance, more deductibles, copays for you, you know, obviously missed time for, you know, missed wages, whatever, maybe additional
right.
scars. We won't even get into like emotional trauma, you know. And so
right.
that was part of the reason I wanted you to come on, because in my conversations with people, that's the sense I'm getting. And I was like, well, let's go to somebody who handles these kind of things all the time. So are you all seeing more cases, even if they're to a less, like, I don't want to call them,
right.
I don't want to call them minor, because any medical mistake,
no.
There's no such thing really as minor, but, you know, not catastrophic,
right.
but do you see a lot more where it is sort of a sloppy, careless, something isn't being done right?
Yeah, I think it's a very astute observation that things are getting worse, not better, it seems. Historically, we're a firm that takes a very small fraction of the cases that we get calls on. And so we are very focused on trying to separate those cases that really are life-changing, altering cases from cases that otherwise probably should be, you know, maybe brought. There may be a cause there, but is it worth it for the person to go through it? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. But in terms of volume, it does appear that there's an uptick in the amount of dissatisfaction of patients and by doctors, for that matter. And I think it's pretty clear that the way the insurance is working these days is not working to the benefit of either doctors or patients. I think that, and the pressure of doctors to fill out these electronic medical records, for example, is getting in the way of patient care. And to your point as well, we're trying to find systemic problems more than problems with individual care. So I would always prefer and to try to find a solution, and the problem being more of a systems-wide problem, like hospitals not communicate, having a good communication system setting up that leads to a terrible result. Because if you can attack that, you can really both you can bring some real change that can help prevent future mistakes. And so many cases that I'm seeing have to do with communication breakdown within hospital personnel and hospital systems that break down, leading to preventable deaths and catastrophic injuries. So that's very frustrating, but also provides an area where maybe we can make some change by having them account for those mistakes.
Yeah, you make a couple of good points probably worth pointing out in case somebody missed it, which is one, that you guys take a small fraction of the cases that people come to you to inquire, because you're trying to go for the ones that make the most sense. Because let's face it, you know, taking legal action against any medical provider, whether it's a hospital or a practice or whatever, and that's a long, stressful event in itself. So
right.
if it's a maybe, I hate to call them minor mistakes, but, you know, if it's not a huge mistake, it might be in the patient's best interest to sort of get over it and move on from a big picture life standpoint than to take that much time and effort to bring legal action. And then the other thing you were saying was the systemic, which makes sense. If you see something that looks like a recurring systemic problem and you can put an end to it, you've not only helped the one client, but you've helped all the people who are going to be using that same service again.
Right. And, you know, in terms of and I know you're being delicate about the describing the degree of injury. But, you know, anybody who suffers from any untoward event with a medical provider or hospital, that's a big deal for that person and needs to be taken very seriously. And the only way a person can know whether it's something that's in their best interests to pursue is to call a lawyer. Because it's a very unique system we have, and there are certain things that are surprising to people about the system and how it works. I think there's a perception out there that with lawsuits in general, that all you have to do is file a lawsuit and suddenly, you know, millions of dollars rain on you. It's abused by everybody. And I think that's just a very negative perception. It's actually extremely difficult to bring cases. It has to be warranted, but the only way a patient can find out is by consulting with somebody who does this kind of work.
So if somebody were to come to Koskoff, and Beter, and you all turned them down because you didn't think it wasn't a case that your firm wanted to take on, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not worthy. It could just be that it doesn't fall into your criteria, correct?
Right. And what I mean, this is a hard, I hate this part of the job. I hate telling people that I feel, because I instantly feel empathy for somebody who's gone through something.
Sure.
And to tell them that we don't think because of X, Y, and Z it's a case, unless I absolutely know it's that no lawyer would be interested in the case, I will say, look, get a second opinion, and I will describe, you know, that very thing that you just said, that, look, we have certain things we look for. This is not meeting everything, but that doesn't mean you don't have a case. It is very much like getting a second opinion, I say. And
I,
it's up to people to whether they want to pursue that. But it's always a difficult it's just, as I said, it's just something I don't enjoy doing. I would rather say we're ready to help. You know?
Yeah, no, I understand. We're going to take a quick break here for traffic. We'll come back and talk more to Josh Koskoff about medical mistakes and malpractice. Ann Carrick in for Paul Caselli today, and we're talking to Josh Koskoff about medical mistakes and malpractice. I'm sorry, sort of sorry to hear that you agreed that you think that there seems to be a little bit more sloppiness going on,
yeah.
or things that are, you know, dropping between, or you know, where they drop the ball or falling between the cracks, as they say. You know, you also mentioned that the medical providers are bogged down sort of with electronic medical records from the insurance companies.
Right.
And I think patients feel like they are overwhelmed with all the portals and electronic things that they're being asked to do for the medical providers. And I'm like, there's something not right here. Like, there's a lot of medical forms being filled out and nobody's happy about it. Not sure what's going on with that. So you know, we were talking about, though, that, you know, just because your firm may say, you know what, we're not going to take that case, it doesn't mean that it's not a case and that they should get a second opinion. And can you give people an idea of, like, how do they know if they have a case or not? You know, I mean,
well,
is there, I mean, I know that's
yeah.
what you guys do, but if somebody, you know, feels like something didn't go quite right, you know, how do they know if they should even be talking to you guys or anybody else?
Well, I think what my dad and my grandfather are both lawyers, and you know, my grandfather and my dad, they saw the law and lawyers as, and the profession, not as a profession, but as a service industry. So that our way of thinking is that we serve people. If somebody has a question or is upset about medical care and wants answers, they should, you know, call a lawyer, in my opinion. You know, and even if they're just looking for some answers and they're getting the runaround by like a hospital. And but, you know, as I guess a litmus test, the only thing I can think of for from the potential client or patient standpoint is there has to be some degree of harm that you suffered as a result of what you believe to be the poor medical care. So a lot of times, you know, we hear of really, really horrific negligence in medical care, as you might say, terrible mistakes that for some reason just luckily don't cause harm. And, you know, those are not cases that can be brought. Those do not make cases, because you need harm to be caused by the terrible mistakes. But in a way, that's just as bad as the mistakes that do cause harm, right? So we want to prevent those too. So in those types of situations, what I usually do is I suggest that patients contact the Department of Public Health that keeps track of these things. But from the patient standpoint, there's very little that you need to know before you call a lawyer. And you know, I like to encourage people to do that, because I think if I were not a lawyer, I would be a little bit, you know, anxious or apprehensive about calling a lawyer. You know, do I really have a case, or are they going to laugh at me, that kind of thing. And I think that the more I can dissuade people from that, the better.
Well, and most people don't want to take legal action against somebody. You know, the ones who want to, I would be more concerned about them. You know, most people, you know, they're not looking, like you said, you know, the ones who want to, I think there's a big payout coming. So they're like, oh, I'll just sue everybody, and that's my new career. I'll just sue people for all sorts of things and collect money,
I
won't have to work.
I can't sign off on that, because, you know, that's a once upon a time, the insurance company started to push these cases that sounded outrageous and pick them, cherry pick cases to make everybody be cynical about the system. But the people who, quote unquote, want to bring a lawsuit, if you're terribly aggrieved and you're talking about a, you know, like a quadriplegic child that you're going to have to raise because some hospital screwed up, are you going to want to bring a lawsuit? Well, maybe you're going to think that's the right thing to do. So mostly people are drafted into this, and nobody sets out in medical cases, especially nobody sets out to bring lawsuits. There, something happens that sort of makes them have to consider this.
Right. And you also made a good point there that I just keep repeating these good points in case somebody missed it. In my opinion, they're good points, was that there has to be some sort of harm. So even if there was a huge mistake, but if there was no harm, and that's why you send them to public health, who oversees like hospitals and medical facilities, so that they can look into the problem. But there was no harm, and so
Right. There's
no legal case necessarily. Correct? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, I mean, and you've probably seen, I don't know if you've have to spend time with relatives or been in the hospital for long. I did recently with my dad, and I just saw. Mistakes, negligence, left and right. None of it caused harm, in my opinion, to my dad. But I just saw a lot of bad care. It was terrible. And but So the amount of bad, you know, so not all mistakes cause harm. And so there is a balance there. And it also is, as your audience probably would understand, there's an expense associated with bringing a case. So you have to hire experts who are doctors who charge a lot of, you know, not unfairly, but they charge money to review cases and to determine whether there's, you know, poor care or the care was okay. And so it's very expensive. So unless you have an injury that has some so you could be harmed and still, you know, you may not be able to find a lawyer to take the case because it doesn't make sense for you as the client to bring the case, because it's just going to be the payoff would only be paying the experts and not you.
Right. What if there's not actually harm, but it's cost them money financially, like the mistake, you know, just cost them, you know, either additional treatments or something, or time lost at work.
Yeah.
Or thing. In other words, if there was no, you know, like they're physically, they'll be fine, but it did cost them money for more procedures and lost wages or something like that.
Yeah, those things are, we consider part of the damages picture. So that is a form of harm. But again, that's just, it really depends. It's a matter of degree. It's a matter of balancing, you know, what was done and how bad the care was and how extensive the harm was and the, you know, how, you know, if you were out of work for a certain amount of time. And you can't, you know, we don't expect lay people to answer those questions. That's what lawyers are supposed to do. And I just say that, you know, there was an old example of, like, if you're a pianist and you lose your finger, that's just cost you your career, right? But if I lost my finger, I could still be a lawyer. So, you know, what is objectively the same injury can have very disparate impacts on people and their lives. And so we look at it as the impact to people's lives as well.
So if somebody loses time at work and for some reason that impacts their career, that could be huge harm, even though physically they seem to have recovered nicely.
It could be. I mean, that's an issue that we usually face more in non-malpractice cases, but it could be. And, it, you know, there are limits. Like, the law does draw some lines at the ripple effects of an injury, because in some way, shape, or form, like, an injury just changes the trajectory of your life in many ways. So there are some limits that they put on how far away from the you can look. Like, can you look to see lost opportunity or
right.
Or just your lost paycheck, or can you say that you, because of this injury, I didn't get a promotion that I otherwise would have gotten?
Right.
I mean, the further attenuated it is, the harder it is to prove.
To prove, sure, yeah. Ann Carrigan today, and we are talking to Josh Koskoff with Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter, and we're talking about medical mistakes in malpractice. And Josh, I wanted to talk to you also about sometimes something happens and the person it happens to, they're not looking for money. They're looking for something to change in the way things are
mm-hmm.
done. You know, like they may not feel that they were harmed terribly, but they need a change, or they think that it should be changed because the risk of other people being harmed is very high. Does that
right.
fall under a legal case for them, or is that a different situation?
Well, that can be a case, depending again on the degree of the injury and the you know, the malpractice. But it's interesting because before I was a lawyer, I thought, you know, oh, people brought lawsuits to get money. That's what I thought. But ever since I became a lawyer, I'm just amazed at hearing. I've heard almost with 100% of people who call, they never thought they'd be in a situation like this. They want to do it. They may need compensation to help, you know, pay medical bills and things like that. But the main driving force is that I hear time and again is that by bringing this case, they hope to prevent what happened to them to happen to somebody else. And it's an incredible thing to hear from people across all demographics say that. It just shows how mindful people are about helping to make a better world, even in the face of their own suffering.
Right.
So I have a much more beneficent view, I think, of the law and that than before I was a lawyer.
So to your point,
yeah, absolutely. And that is, you know, that the most gratifying thing from my perspective is when you hear you know, hospitals don't tell us, you know, what I've learned is that hospitals won't tell us when they make changes because of one of our cases. But I have, just through back, you know, just offhanded, you know, coincidence, heard about a number of changes that have been made in as a result of various cases that have been brought there. So, and that's so rewarding to know that the efforts of your client and the success of your case have led to change that can help protect the public and patients in the future. It just doesn't get any more satisfying than that.
Sure. I mean, it's always good to see that somebody did respond and make changes, if, you know, and prevent other problems. If there's something, you know, are there other ways sometimes to resolve issues? Like if somebody feels like something was done wrong, you know, instead of taking legal action, is there, you know, do hospitals or medical providers or things like that, if you approach them directly and say, hey, I think this isn't right and I shouldn't have to pay for that because, you know, you're like, what you did is causing me to have this other procedure or something. I mean, is that a valid way to try to handle things, or are you really better off going with an attorney who understands how the whole thing works?
Well, I think in general, you're always better off consulting with an expert on something, like an attorney. You know, if it would be like, you know, why I don't try to fix my own car. And I would say that if you have an injury that is more than like transient, it's gone away, if it's in your rear view mirror, maybe you could try to work it out. I mean, I've been approached by a lot of people who have tried that with hospitals and haven't gotten anywhere. And, sometimes these people have really bad injuries. And I think, oh, it's a good thing that, you know, you didn't resolve this with a hospital, because I mean, you know, for better or really for worse, a hospital that is dealing with somebody who's unrepresented is going to take advantage of that person.
Because they know they don't know all the
I mean, that's just the way it works.
It's done. Right.
So it's unfortunate, and it's not. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm just saying that imbalance in negotiating power is going to not work to the benefit of the patient. But it doesn't mean that the patient, if you're dissatisfied about care and if you've had to go back for maybe a second procedure that you didn't need, I have heard of doctors or hospitals covering, you know, the expenses related to that. But I wouldn't advise it
without having an attorney involved, or because there was an attorney who said, hey, like, you should, you know, the person shouldn't have to pay for this.
Yeah, but mostly, no, I've heard it once in a while you can get, if it is really, again, I can't stress enough that you don't want to do this if you have an injury that is not over. You know, if it's ongoing injury that you're going to have to deal with in the future, and, you know, going into the future, you would not be advised to do this at all. If it's an inconvenience, you're out, you know, a couple thousand dollars from a surgery that did take, you know, you had to repeat something and it was over, it's probably not going to be a lawsuit. So you may, you know, trying to resolve it without going to a lawyer is not, you know, it's not an absurd thing to do.
Okay.
And most lawyers don't have the time to try to we would love to help everybody who calls, you know, but we just don't have the time to help resolve those kinds of things.
All right, we're going to check traffic again when we come back. I'm going to ask you some more questions related to that right here on WICC 600. And Carrick here, we're talking to Josh Kostkoff about medical mistakes and malpractice. And Josh, you know, one of the things you were saying as we went to the break there was, you know, that it's not really advised for someone to try to resolve this themselves without help, because the hospital will know that you're unrepresented. And even if they're not necessarily taking advantage of you, you just don't know what your rights are or what you should ask for. And so you probably aren't going to get the outcome that you should have. You know, a lot of times you'll hear somebody say, oh, you know, get a friend who's an attorney to send that letter on their letterhead for them. You know what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, I've done that. Like, I've done that for friends.
Right. Like, I could write a letter to somebody on my own, but if I have a friend who's an attorney, it goes on their letterhead, it'll hold more water when it gets there. Is that really, though, kind of what would be the first step of legal action anyway? I mean, yes, if it's a friend, that's one thing. But, you know, in other words, if you're having an attorney send the sort of the same letter you would have sent on your own, you know, the same, asking for the same thing, is that just really the first step in legal action? And if that resolves it, great, then everybody shakes hands and we're done?
Not in most cases. I mean, in the hypothetical case where it is really just a something that it was a short time period, it didn't, you know, it just added an extra procedure, an extra cost, then you might do something like that. But again, I think it was sort of implied in your question that if you have a friend and attorney, that's when I get calls. That's when I have a lot more friends than I knew I had.
They come from everywhere.
They do. And God bless them. No, I enjoy the part of the job that allows to help out friends and family in different legal situations. And I would help them in a situation like that. But
if they're not a friend and somebody came to you and said, hey, look, I'm not trying to sue these people. You know, this is what I asked for. They're ignoring me. I need somebody to send this on letterhead. Is that like a legal service that
it's not
people...
really? It's not really something. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's not really something that. I mean, there may be lawyers who do that. If I did it, it would be pro. You know, I wouldn't charge anything because I'm usually doing it for a friend. But also, it's just. But I wouldn't have the time to take on those kinds of things. So I think most lawyers who do malpractice are really what we would do is when we get a request somebody calls with some issue, we find out a little bit about it. If it's warranted, we get the medical records, which is a time-consuming process, and we invest in the investigation. And we do that every day, times a lot of cases.
So for the people who don't have friends who are attorneys, they
don't have anybody
to write a letter for them.
Look, I don't think it's a lost cause to go to a healthcare provider in which you've had this kind of an outcome where you're not permanently injured. You know, it caused you some inconvenience. You're upset about it because you had to go through to another procedure. And by the way, you're out, you know, however much money, and see what and see what you can do. I mean. They may offer to pay your bills. And with mistakes and bad medical care that just so happens not to cause major problems for you or your family, the way to make sure to, if you want to participate in the system that of checks and balances that the system is, that you can and probably should report that to the Department of Public Health, because they look at the mistakes end of the equation and we're trying to eliminate those as much as we can.
So even if somebody's not interested in pursuing it for legal reasons or monetary reasons for themselves, if they really think something was done wrong, you're saying they should probably report it to the public health just so that it gets, you know, into the system and somebody looks into it.
Yeah, well, the concern that you raised about wanting to prevent, you know, we talked about wanting to prevent things like this from happening in the future. If you really are not interested in pursuing a claim on your own behalf for whatever reason, but you still want it to be noted that you experienced inappropriate or bad or just careless medical care, the way to do that, there's a system to do that, and that is by filing a complaint with the DPH. You just Google it, and you'll get on the DPH website, and there's a submission form, and they look into these things. I mean, it's nice to have this other avenue. And sometimes, in a lot of my cases, we do both. The patients file a claim with the DPH while at the same time we pursue, you know, whether or not there's a case.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So I got you. So
they're not mutually exclusive.
Right. No, I understand. I would imagine if it was, you know, egregious enough that it warrants legal action, that it automatically somebody should be telling DPH.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it warrants legal action, it certainly should be reported.
It should be.
And I can see there's other times where you're like, all right, we're not going to pursue legal action, but we're going to let the, you know, public health DPH know so that they can look into it and make sure that things get cleaned up. Especially, you know, we started the conversation by sort of unfortunately agreeing that things have gotten sloppier and maybe a little more careless, where there's little mistakes happening a lot. You said you had that same experience at the hospital with your father where you noticed mistakes. It didn't result in a problem, but you still noticed that they were happening. So, you know, maybe I don't think we want to be calling DPH for everything, but
no. No, but it's a very look. I mean, it's really in this great country that we have. You know, it's a mystery as to why we can't get our health care in order the way that some other places do. We have the resources theoretically. You know, we have the smarts, we have the ingenuity, but it's just not working. You know, this is a bigger point, but it's really not working the way it could work. And I think, you know, there's got to be something better.
Well, and I think some of it goes to what you were saying, you know, and I chimed in, which is I think the medical providers are feeling overwhelmed by the things they are being asked to do to comply with insurance companies. And patients feel overwhelmed with what they're asked to do to comply with medical service providers. And so all of this time and energy is being put towards sort of the administrative end of it. And so, you know, instead of that time being spent with the people, the doctors and the medical providers who have the expertise working with the patient on what's wrong, there's all this energy and time that's going into other stuff. And of course, time is money. So all of that, you know, and so it's creating where you just have this little, you only have a small percentage that's actually focused on the problem.
On you.
Where the expert has time to focus on you and what's wrong and do something about it. And that's probably a problem that is beyond the legal system. That's a healthcare issue, which we got a lot of people talking about it. I'm not sure anybody has an answer or they're going to figure it out anytime soon.
I think it's clear that the way the insurance interfaces with how hospitals and doctors get paid is really just a big impediment to getting good health care in the end, because 90% of what is now put into these systems, that these electronic health records, are really there to support the care to get paid so that the hospitals get paid. Not as much interested in the interaction with the patient and what's best for the patient. So it's only going to get worse until they figure out a way to take that out of the equation.
Yeah. Ann Carrick here with Josh Koscoff as our guest this hour from Koscoff, Koscoff and Beter. We're talking about medical mistakes and malpractice. And Josh, I'm pretty sure Koscoff does free consultation if somebody thinks they may have an issue. And I would imagine that's true for most law firms that handle malpractice, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to summarize what you've said in the last hour. You can tell me if I'm wrong, you know, but you know, that if you think something was wrong or something, you know, that something is, if you think there's an issue, you know, then go to somebody, whether it's Koscoff or somebody else, do the free consultation and see what they say, you know, before you just try to handle it yourself. And, you know, if they say there is no case and you really feel there is, maybe try a different law firm, because each one has their own criteria of which cases make sense to them and which ones don't. Also, if they think there's something really wrong, you can file a report with the Department of Public Health so that the situation gets looked into whether you want to take any legal action or not. And while you can try to send a letter or do something on your own, just to be very careful, because the service provider or the hospital, medical provider, whatever, will know that you do not know the ins and outs. And even if they're not trying to take advantage of you, you may be taken advantage of because you just don't know what to ask for.
Yeah, and I would say just on that last point, like if it's strictly a financial matter of an additional expense because you have to have an additional procedure, that's the only circumstance where I would say, you know, that would make sense. But if you've suffered an injury that you think is related to some poor medical care, then, and it's going to continue into the future, especially then you really shouldn't be anxious or worried about calling a lawyer. That's their job. Lawyers are here to serve people and to advise them of their legal rights and, you know, not to scare people away. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are hesitant to contact a lawyer at all. It's like, you know, the whole concept, it's going to be expensive and time consuming and stressful.
Yeah, and that's the other point that
they're
going to
accuse me
of
things or something, you know. Right.
Yeah, and the point that you made that, you know, most lawyers who do this work, you know, we understand people have been through a lot and that part of the call is about finding out whether they have legal rights. And we don't charge for that. We are are pleased to try to answer those questions. And we don't expect people to pay for that.
Right. And in the time we have left, you know, you mentioned it, that you noticed mistakes at the hospital when you were there with your father.
Yeah.
I've noticed it. You know, any advice from a legal standpoint where people could do maybe to minimize their chance of needing a lawyer later, if they, you know, in other words.
Yes, no, I know. I found myself on right in the middle of a terrible situation. And what I did, and I'm not a very aggressive person when it comes to my own personal life, but for my dad, who was very sick, I went to like the nursing manager of this particular place, and I explained exactly what was going on. And I was very clear about it and very upset about it. And so, you know, I want to not have to worry about the people taking care of people in my family and people that I love. But unfortunately, sometimes you really have to have an advocate if you're in the hospital, a family member who can just, and again, just like don't be shy or anxious about calling a lawyer. Certainly don't be shy or anxious about raising an issue that you are witnessing in the hospital. It is not automatically something that is routine. So that you know, we say, well, this must be the way they do things. Well, not necessarily. So what I would just be, you may have to have somebody there who's not shy about being an advocate for your loved one to prevent something terrible happening.
Well, and I guess along with that is be an advocate for yourself. And if
exactly.
you think something's not right, speak up.
Of course, it depends on what condition you are and your ability to do that. But
right, but I mean, sometimes the advocate can't be where you are all the time. You know, like if you're doing some procedure, the advocate won't be in the room with you. You're the only one there. And so if something seems off, say so.
Yeah, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but that is the situation we're in. And I don't want to overly scare people, because, you know, good care is still the
the norm.
Not the exception.
Oh, good.
But it's not exactly, you know, the delta is getting closer and closer, so it's becoming a closer call. It can be pretty tough to go through that.
Yeah, I mean I get the sense too that sometimes that the medical field they kind of oversell the possible benefits of things, and they underplay the potential and sometimes likely downsides, which you know, makes people wonder if things were done right, because you know, they made it sound like it was all just going to be a breeze, and it's not. You know,
a lot of our cases, a fair amount of our cases involve surgeries just gone horribly wrong, where a patient dies or has terrible injuries that were never discussed as possibilities, or possibilities,
but nobody bothered to emphasize that.
You know, routine surgeries just that were promoted as very routine and a breeze, and in fact, and in some cases they were supposed to be routine. It was just terrible care that made them have these terrible results. So there is a problem often there in communicating. There's always going to be communication breakdown between two people, regardless of who those two people are. It's
right.
Imperfect. So.
Right. Ann Carrick in for Paul Pacelli. Our guest this hour has been Josh Koskoff. And so, Josh, we have like 2 minutes left. What would you like to leave people with as like, you know, parting advice on any of the things we've discussed?
Well, you know, I think what your questions have raised this thought in my head, which is that there's a lot of mystique about what lawyers do, and I would like to demystify for people. Lawyers are just around to help people when they're in tough situations. So in this case, we're talking about medical malpractice cases. So look, I mean, if you have an issue, you really shouldn't take it upon yourself to wonder too hard about whether there's a legal action or whether there's something you should be doing. You know, there are lawyers out there whose job it is to help you through that. And so to the extent that you can see lawyers, I know this is hard, as regular people, then I would urge your listeners to do that, and to know that they have rights. They have rights even if the system makes them beats them down and makes them feel like they don't.
And how I just thought of this, but any warning signs if somebody is seeking legal advice that they've got a lawyer that's not somebody they should be working with, like any like bright flashing red lights that they should be like, oh, I need to go to talk to somebody else.
Yeah, it's hard to know, but like basically now everybody's online, so you can find out a fair amount of, about people and their background. So I guess my only thing is if somebody recommended a lawyer and you could, couldn't find anything about that person, then that would be a red flag. You know, I wouldn't necessarily, we don't use phone books anymore. So
no, I just meant by like behavior or if they suggested something that was, you know, that you would, you would say like, oh my, that's like bad advice. Like, don't work with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's very fact-specific, but, like, okay. you know, our firm's been around for a long time. There's a lot of Connecticut firms that have been here for around for a long time. I mean, in general, that's what I would want, somebody who I know has
been here a long time.
Around,
all
yeah,
right.
And has roots.
Okay,
but,
and on that note, because we're about out of time, Koskoff.com if somebody wants more information.
If you call a lawyer and they want to charge you for reviewing
WICC Bridgeport, WEBE-HD2 Westport, WPLR-HD2 New Haven, locally owned by Connoisseur Media, Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.